Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavananda Prabhuji with us to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 18th chapter, 72nd and 73rd sloka. Yeah, before handing over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to read brief introduction about Prabhuji. Yeah. Here's the brief introduction. Dr. Keshavananda Prabhuji was a professional doctor for many years, and he is now a practicing monk. Since the last 20 years, he has conducted extensive research and authored books in the field of science and spirituality. He feels the rift between science and spirituality must disappear to bring peace in the world. If spirituality is a superstition and a myth, science is materialistic and atheistic. A new approach to life is needed today that can bring the best of both. Science must re-embrace spirituality and be humble to admit its defects, flaws, and ignorance. And spirituality must base itself on sound scientific and rational ideas. Keshavananda Prabhuji has studied both Vedic and Western philosophy. Besides learning Sanskrit, he also learned Bengali, Gujarati, Marathi, and Kannada to know about other traditions. His persistent endeavor in the field of science and spirituality has enabled him to come up with seminars on diverse topics like science and the Vedas, mind and machines, science falls to explain life, consciousness, and beyond, etc., that he has presented in various colleges in India, Europe and America. Under the guidance of his spiritual master, His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj, he has also started a Gurukula, a traditional system of Vedic education in Punjab, India, where children learn the ancient Vedic culture and values. Besides, he has started a farm community. The community has a traditional way of living with mud huts and thatched roofs, with cows and, of course, farming. The communities will set a model for the world to show how to live a life based on the principles of simple living, high thinking. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 18, Slokas 72 and 73, Prabhuji. Yeah, please take over the call, Prabhuji.
Okay, I'll just read the verses now. First of all, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, this is 6.18.73. Krito me sapta dhagarbha asan sapta kumarakaha. Te api cha ekekasho vrikranaha sapta dhana api mamrire. I'll read text 73 also first. Tatas tat paramasharyam vikshaya vyavasitam maya mahapurusha pujayaha siddhi ka apaya anushangini. Okay, text 72-73. 72 synonyms: kritaha, cut, me, by me. By me means Indra. Saptadha into seven. Garbha, the embryo. Asan, there came to be. Sapta, seven. Kumarakaha, babies. Te, de, api, although, cha, also. Eka, ekasha, each one. Vriknaha, cut. Saptadha into. Na, not, api, still. Mamrire, died. Translation, first I cut the child in the womb into seven pieces, which became seven children. Then I cut each of the seven children into seven pieces again. By the grace of Supreme Lord, however, none of them died. 73, translation and synonyms translation. Tataha then, tat, that, paramascharyam, great wonder. Vikshaya seeing, vyavasitam, it was decided, maya by me, mahapurusha, Lord Vishnu. Pujaya or worship, siddhi result, kaapi sam, anusangini, secondary. Translation, my dear mother, when I saw that all 49 sons were alive, I was certainly struck with wonder. I decided that this was secondary result of your having regularly executed devotional service in the worship of Supreme Lord Vishnu. Purport. For one who engages in worshipping Lord Vishnu, nothing is very wonderful. This is a fact. In Bhagavad Gita 18:78, it is said, Yatri Yogeshwaro Krishna Yatri Partho Dhanurdhara Tatri Shri Vijayatri Dhruvani Tiri Matir Mama. Whenever there is Krishna, wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and where there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also be certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power and morality. That is my opinion. Yogeshwar is the supreme personality of Godhead, the master of all mystic yoga, who can do anything and everything he likes. This is the omnipotence of the Supreme Lord. For one who pleases the Supreme Lord, no achievement is wonderful. Everything is possible for him. Okay. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakara Chakshurun Mulitamena Tasmai Shri Guru Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Visheshna Vadi Parishadeshtani Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Padagamlam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Savrajatam Sanatam Sajivam Sadvayetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sevanalavitash Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Kruttananda Shri Vidhara Shri Gaurabhakta Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. Okay. So, having said this, Mangalacharan, now, these two verses are spoken by Indra, as we have been already discussing this in this forum. Indra, he had a conversation with Diti. Diti and Aditi, they are wives of Kashyapa. And Diti wanted a son to kill Indra and all the Adityas because they were the sons of Aditi, and Diti and Aditi, they had a conflict. They were simply envious of each other. That's the whole problem there. So she did worship of Vishnu for 1 year, which was Payobrat, to actually get a son to kill Indra and all the demigods were born from Aditi. And so Indra, Indra came to know her plot, and he thought, well, before she gets a baby to kill me, let me kill her baby right in the womb. That's what Indra thought. It's not a bad thought. You might think Indra is a demigod and he's thinking like that. It's such a bad thought. Is he a demigod? Is he a devotee of God? I mean, Indra is supposed to be a devotee of God, isn't it? Indradi Vyakulam Loke Mridhyanti Yoga. There are many praises of Indra right in the Rig Veda. Indra is considered to be one of the pure devotees in the lines of demigods. Lord Shiva, Brahma, Durga and Indra, they're all great devotees. So this action is not expected from him. This is like a mundane action, isn't it? Like somebody wants to have a baby to kill me, so let me kill her baby right in the womb. it's a crazy thought, you know. Demons think like that. So why is thinking like that, first of all? Why Indra is thinking like that? The idea behind this is Indra is not a bad person. He's a good person. That's why Vishnu favors him. And in fact, Lord Vishnu, he always remains as a younger brother of Indra, Vamandev, Upendra. One of the names is in Swarga, in heavenly planets, Indra is always there at service of, Lord Vishnu is always there in service of Indra in the form of Vamandev. And Indra always talks with Vamandev, takes advices from Vamandev, and also pleases him. That you see, that kind of connection is there with Lord Vishnu. Indra is supposed, according to Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Indra is in Sakhya Ras with Sakhya, but technically a Vishramba Sakhya, a friendship with respect. So the same relationship with Arjuna has with Krishna. So why is he acting as a mundane person now? Why he himself admits to Diti. So when Indra approached Diti, Diti frankly admitted, "Well, I wanted a son to kill you." She openly said. And so she had said to Indra, "Indra, see, I told you my intention without keeping anything in my heart. You tell your intention." So why she asked him? Because she was planning for one baby, but she got 49 babies, and she was surprised. What is this? I got 49 babies. This is crazy. So she already understood this is something done by Indra. Indra is behind all these things. So she told Indra. Indra also said, "Okay, fine, mother, I'll tell you my intention. Because you wanted to kill me, so naturally I wanted to kill your babies." And he admitted her. Now the immediate question is, why is thinking like that? Having said all the history of Indra, his devotion, isn't it? So the answer for this is, although it is not mentioned in Bhagavatam, but all the Acharyas, Madhvacharya especially, comments, the answer for this is, Indra is not thinking about himself, that the babies want to kill him, and that's why he want to kill the baby in the womb. He is actually thinking on a very, so on a much broader scale. A king, Indra is a king. And it is said in scriptures, a king should protect himself. Not for his own safety, but for the safety of so many other people who are under him. If the king dies, then everybody dies. But if someone dies in the kingdom, that's okay, until unless king is alive. Thousands of people can die, but if the king is alive, the kingdom can be saved. But if the king dies, everything is gone. So Indra is not trying to protect himself. Indra is trying to protect the king of him. Because if Indra dies, something happens to him, then what happens is the whole heavenly planet, the whole heaven is in danger. Demons will immediately seize everybody and torture everybody. So he has to protect himself. That's one of his service to Krishna, is to protect himself. That's his service. Just like we see in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, Ramanujacharya, he was there, and the king, Chola king, they were all Shaivites, Chola kings, and they wanted Ramanujacharya to admit that Lord Shiva is supreme, Lord Vishnu is not supreme. They were very envious of Lord Vishnu. So they sent some envoy to Ramanujacharya, and they asked him, "Okay, well, you should admit, you should sign that Lord Vishnu is supreme." So before that envoy, before that messenger, he came to Ramanujacharya. Koresh could understand that this is going to happen, and Ramanujacharya will never sign that Lord Shiva is supreme. It's crazy. Ramanujacharya is Acharya, so if he signs Lord Shiva is supreme, all Vaishnavism is lost. So what Koresh did was, Koresh said to Ramanujacharya, "See, you leave this place and I will wear your dress and I will act as Ramanujacharya. And I will handle this situation." And handling this situation means death. Because Koresh will also not sign Lord Shiva as supreme. So Koresh said to Ramanujacharya, "You please go to Melkote." They were in Srirangam. "You please run away. You will escape. I will act as Ramanujacharya in front of them, and I will be put in prison, and in fact I will also accept death, no problem, whatever it is. But you please go, because if something happens to you, then everything is finished." And Ramanujacharya accepted the proposal. He said, "Okay, he just escaped, that's all." Now that's quite interesting, isn't it? Ramanujacharya escaped. Why did he escape? Because he escaped because he knew that his life is not important for himself, but his life is important for others, for the devotees who are following him. So that is why it was not a selfish act on the part of Ramacharya to run away. Similarly, here, Indra. Indra is trying to protect himself. That's his service. So he thought, well, before this baby is born, let me kill him. Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were born and Indra couldn't do anything about them because they become very powerful. So that's why he thought, well, before if the baby is born and if he goes out of control and if I'm not able to control him and he's very powerful, then I will not be able to kill him and it will be like messed up situation. Just like Dhritarashtra, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, there were big problems. So he thought the best solution is to kill them in the womb. But the point is to kill Indra, to kill the baby in the womb, he needs to find a fault. That's the whole idea. That's another message here. Indra cannot kill anybody just like that. That's the whole idea. If Indra kills anybody just like that, then he will be implicated in sinful reactions. And Indra is the embodiment of dharma. Demigods embody dharma, isn't it? That's why Krishna says, I favor Indra because he's following dharma. And I favor dharma. Dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yogi yogi. So Indra cannot kill anybody just like that. He needs to find a valid reason. And that's why Indra was watching Diti for the whole year. Diti was engaged in the worship of Vishnu. And Indra was watching some fault, some error which Diti would commit, some sinful thing, some adharmic action by which he can harm her baby. That's what Indra was trying to look for. So Indra is a protector of religion. If somebody walks on the path of irreligion, it's his duty to punish them. And by that excuse, by that principle, he will be able to harm the baby of Diti. So he was trying to look for a fault in Diti. So excuse me, somebody is unmute there. Can you please mute? Somebody is unmute. So the whole point was Indra was looking for a fault and Indra found a fault. Diti, when she was doing the worship of Vishnu, she was doing 1 year vow for Vishnu. And what she did was she once slept and her hairs touched the feet. And this is sin, actually, according to scripture. Your hair should not touch your feet. Because a human, anything below the navel in human body, that's impure. And if you touch any part of the body below navel, you have to wash your hands. And then you have to do your things. But when she was resting, her hairs touched the feet, her hands touched the feet, and then she got up. And she did the rituals, whatever she wanted to do, and that was an offense. So the point was, he found a fault, and he then entered the womb of Diti on this because she was involved in adharma. She did an offense. In fact, for this offense, she should have gone to hell, by the way. Because in Vishnu Puran, Srila Prabhupada writes in his books that in Vishnu, I think Papa to Chaitanya Charitamrita, he writes, and he quotes from Vishnu Puran that there was one Brahman in Satyuga and he had a son and he used to offer bhoga to Lord Vishnu. So he asked his son to bring a tulsi leaf and he brought tulsi leaf, but he didn't wash it. And there was dust on the tulsi leaf. So he offered, with that tulsi leaf, he offered to Vishnu with the dust on it. And because of that, he had to go to hell. It was offense. So Indra thought, well, she didn't do a right thing. Her hair touched the feet, her hands touched the feet, and then she's doing all the rituals and she didn't purify herself. So her vow is broken and she should be punished. So on this pretext, he entered the womb. And then comes this verse, 72 and 73. So he said to Diti, I entered your womb to kill the child. First, I cut the child in the womb into seven pieces, which became seven children. So he cut the child into seven pieces and it became seven children. The child didn't die. And he was very surprised child didn't die. And then I cut each of the children into seven pieces again by the grace of Supreme Lord, however none of them died. So then he cut every seven piece into seven pieces and it became 49, but none of them died. It became 49 babies. And he said that that due to grace of Supreme Lord, none of them died. He could immediately understand that that God is behind her. And the next verse he says, my dear mother, when I saw all 49 sons alive, param ascharyam, I was really surprised how this is happening. And viksha vivasitam maya, viksha means saw, viksha also means I thought about this. And vivasitam maya, and I immediately understood. Vivasitam matlab, vivasitam means it was decided by me. I immediately understood. Mahapurusha pujya, this is the grace of Supreme Lord. Mahapurusha pujya, because she worshipped Vishnu for 1 year, that power of worship, that power of devotion saved her child. It saved her child. Mahapurusha puja siddhi kaapi anusangini. And he immediately understood siddhi, the result that her child was saved, anusangini. Now this word is very important here. This whole verse, anusangini, is important. The point is, this was a secondary effect of devotion. He won't understand. Now I want to discuss two points here. Very important message from these two verses. This anusangini point I'll come just after some time, just a few moments later. But before that, I want to discuss one point that whenever we do some adharma, some religious activity, or whenever we do some kind of sin or an offense. An offense is a sin towards God. That's an offense. So whenever we do offense or a sin or a religious activity, then we are prone to punishment by demigods, by angels around us, and they punish us. And we are also prone to be punished by ghosts and demons. We are open to demons. That's how demons affect us. And when demons affect us, then what happens is they bring problems in our life. Or they make us sick. They enter our bodies and make us sick. Demons and ghosts cannot enter your body until unless you are involved in some sin or an offense. They cannot do that. That comes in Garuda Puran. Doing sin or an offense is a gateway for them to actually torture you, punish you, make you sick, bring problems in your life. So physical problems, mental problems, spiritual problems, something like that. So if we are sinless,
Prabhuji, your voice breaked up. If you are sinless, after that I could not hear
okay.
you.
Okay, so if you are sinless, then no ghost and demon can affect you. It's impossible. They cannot bring problems and they cannot make you sick or something. But the problem is, material world is designed so that we will be forced to do sins. It is designed like that. Nobody can avoid doing sins in this material world. At least, Manu Samhita says, at least five sins you must do. Number one sin is killing while washing clothes. Number second sin is killing while cooking. Number third is killing while cleaning. Number fourth is killing while walking insects or something. Number fifth is killing while breathing. Some small insects will go. So at least these sins everybody must do. Even if you're living in a jungle, this you have to do, you implicate it. And then there are other sins, you know, in the society, you have to do so many things, you know, so many tackling, you know, problems and this, blah, blah, blah. So then yeah, we're forced to do sins. So then we are forced to, so we are prone to all these ghostly demons and all these people, all these entities. And thus, what's the solution? Solution is, Sarvaharman Paritajyamaham Shandam Nachara Ahamatam Sarva Papepyo. That's the only solution. Krishna says this is a solution. If you surrender to me, then whatever sins you are forced to do unintentionally, I will save you from. That's what Krishna promises. Otherwise, there is no way to get to actually encounter all the sins. So Indra knows that. Indra knew that. Diti, no matter how much carefully she worships Vishnu, she will commit a mistake. He knew that. He knew that because everyone in this material world commits mistake. And so that is why whenever we worship Vishnu, there is a mantra. Whenever you do yagya, or whenever you do deity worship, or whenever you take a vow, after the completion of vow, yagya or deity worship, there is a mantra. You have to chant that. And the mantra is Aparadha Sahasrani Kriyate Aharnishamaya. The mantra says, oh my Lord, I have done so many offenses and I do so many offenses day and night in your worship. Please forgive me. You have to ask for forgiveness. There is a mantra. You have to speak that for the completion, for the final ahuti you give. So Indra knew whatever, how much carefully she will do this vow of Vishnu, Payavrat, she will commit a mistake. And Indra, on that pretext, he will kill the baby. So entire year he was on look of some mistake. And that's what we learn from this whole incident. The important message is that no matter how much carefully we worship Vishnu, we do devotion, we will be implicated in some offenses unintentionally, and we will be implicated in sins in this material world. We can't avoid it. We can't be sinless. We can't be offenseless. It's impossible. But if we carry a mood of repentance, and if we always ask forgiveness from the Lord and repent for whatever sins and offense we are doing within our heart, then we are forgiven. So that's why a true devotee always repents, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings. All these Dhanyamayi prayers, Gopinath, Mama Nivedana Suno, all these prayers, this is all repentance. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is repenting. My Gopinath, I am doing sins day and night. I am lusty. Please help me. Why Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that? So an acharya of that caliber who actually revived Krishna consciousness, who actually gave a direction to Krishna consciousness, he is praying, he is asking for forgiveness, and we who are nothing, we are not asking for forgiveness. We don't carry this mood in our heart. This is called humbleness. And that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his song, Jai Jana Sharanagati Jahar Tahar Pratna Sunenanta Kumar. Only a humble heart, only prayers from a humble heart, they reach God. And what's a humble heart? Humble heart carries this mood of repentance. And that's a very important message from Srimad Bhagavatam. And Indra knew this. Diti, by the way, probably Diti was worshipping Vishnu, but with a desire. And not exactly to please Vishnu. So this means she was not in the mood of repentance and she was not in the mood of humility, true humility and true repentance, because that is only in pure devotion. She had agenda And she was doing that. And that is why as soon as she was implicated in offense or a sin, Indra took this chance to kill the baby. Because she was not doing true devotion. But for us, if we are doing devotion without any agenda, only to please Vishnu, with a humble heart, with a repentant heart, then we are forgiven of all the offenses and sins what we are doing. And then all the ghosts and demons and other angels who are trying to obstruct our spiritual life for whatever reason they know, they'll not be able to do anything. That's the whole message, one of the very important messages from this whole incident. That is why we should do devotion with a proper mood. Otherwise, this whole verse, Saradharman Paritajya Mame Kam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Pape Mokshami Masuja, this verse will not work. We can read this verse, we can rejoice that we know this verse and we can quote this verse, and this is a central verse of Bhagavad Gita. But this verse will not work for you. Mame Kam Sharanam Raja. Sharanam means a humble heart. A heart that repents, that is a heart that asks for forgiveness from the Lord. Dhanyamai, that's all the prayers. For the offenses and for the sins we are committing daily in the service of Lord Vishnu. Knowingly or unknowingly, that's the whole idea. So, then nobody can harm us. In fact, Diti, she was not in that mood. She had an agenda and she wanted something from the vow, and still Lord protected her. You can imagine. Still Lord protected her baby. So what do you talk of a person who is actually trying to do pure devotion? Why would not Krishna protect him or her? So the Lord protected a baby. Now, that's a very important message there. So that's why Indra says the Lord is very merciful. His grace protects everyone. But now Indra comes to next point. Indra says Anusangini in the next verse. This is a secondary effect which she got, protecting her babies. The primary effect what she got, although she didn't desire for the primary effect. Primary effect of devotion to Lord Vishnu is purification of heart. Although she didn't desire that, she desired baby to kill Indra, but because of worshipping Vishnu, her heart was purified. And that's why Prisila Prabhupada writes in the previous purpose, that's why she could admit to Indra, see, my intention was this. She could say, she became non-envious and she said, okay, well, you know, let me tell Indra. And she actually greeted her as a son. Her enviousness, she lost her enviousness. But this was a secondary effect that her babies were saved. And why Krishna saved her babies? Krishna saved her babies to actually give us a message that if we do devotion to Vishnu, purely or impurely, there is no loss. You'll always be benefited. Now that benefit might not come according to your desire, according to the way you want. And Diti didn't want 49 babies. She wanted one baby. And she got this 49 baby. She wanted one powerful baby to kill Indra, but she got 49 babies, which were actually useless because they couldn't kill Indra. All the babies were saved. They were like weak. So she didn't get what she wanted, but at the same time, Krishna had mercy on her and he saved her babies. At the same time, he purified her. He removed her enviousness. He removed her desire to kill Indra. And then he saved his baby. So both ways, she was benefited. That's the whole idea. That's how Krishna works. Krishna is very intelligent. Krishna is Krishna is the leader of all devotees. That's what Neta, the name Neta is there. He's the best leader. He's the best benefactor. Whatever he does, it will always be win-win situation for everybody. That's how he works. It's always a win-win situation. He is the best. the best guide, the best leader, the best friend of all. We might not recognize how he's working because it's very difficult to understand how it works. That's one of the qualities of Krishna. Krishna is Gambhir. One of the qualities of Krishna, Rupa Goswami, is Gambhir. He's very grave. His actions and thoughts and desires and plans, nobody can understand. That is why the word used here is Mahapurusha in this verse. Mahapurusha Pujaya. Why Indra is using this word Mahapurusha? To remind us that you can't understand his actions and plans. It's impossible. A person who is an ordinary person, you can understand what he's doing and what he's trying to speak. But a person who is Mahapurusha, he thinks very deep. An ordinary person thinks superficially, so you cannot see what's happening in his mind. But because a great person thinks very deep, that's why a person on superficial platform, he will not be able to see what he wants, how he expresses his desires, how he plans and how he acts. Vaishnavira Kriya Mudra Vikyan Vijaya. All Vaishnavas are Mahapurusha. And if devotees are Mahapurusha, what to say about God? So that's why Indra uses this word Mahapurusha. Mahapurusha Pujaya purposefully uses this word. Because even Indra couldn't understand the actions of Krishna before he actually... He could only understand the actions of Krishna after he did his action. After he cut the babies into pieces. But before that, he could understand what Vishnu will do, why he will do, how he will do. And Indra could completely understand Lord Vishnu, he removed enviousness from Diti's heart. At the same time, he saved his babies. And also, he actually purified Indra also. In the sense, Lord Vishnu gave Indra a teaching also. A devotional teaching that anybody who worships me, he will be saved and he will be purified eventually. Even though he doesn't want to get purified. That's the whole idea. That comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna says, anybody who does my devotion, who asks me something, he or she might have come to me to fulfill some desires, but I will not fulfill any desire for them. I will not fulfill the desire because they are foolish. They are asking some desires from me. They could have asked me, but they are asking some petty desires. So what I do is, I remove their desires in a way that they can't understand, and then give them my lotus feet. Because they are fools, but I am not fools. They are fools to ask something material, but I am not fool to give them something material. Because material desires will entangle them and not help them to liberate. And anybody who comes to Vishnu, they must be benefited in the sense they must be guided towards liberation. That's what Vishnu wants. And if you have slightest connection with Vishnu or Krishna, slightest connection, you will be forced to go on the path of liberation. He will make it sure that you walk on the path of liberation. Whether with love or whether with force, that's what he wants, because that's for the best benefit. So that's what this whole two verses are trying to give us this message. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anyone wants to ask any questions, I'll hand up here.
Hare Krishna. Very nice class. It's the last point which you made. If you want, when we surrender to Krishna or when we ask for something to Krishna.
Oh, I can't hear you. Yeah, anybody.
Okay. Sorry. Am I audible now, Prabhuji?
Yeah, now you're audible, yeah.
Okay, sorry. It was very nice class, Prabhuji. Actually, I like the last point which you told, saying that if we go and surrender to Krishna, he will make it sure by forcibly we do not have the material desires and only him. So in this regard, I just remembered a WhatsApp message which was circulating a few months before that when we want to move away from Krishna, he will pull us towards him. So there was one cartoon message which was circulating a few months ago. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class. Hare Krishna. So I think there are hand raised. Ritu Gunhare Mataji, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for such a blissful class. Prabhuji, I have three questions from this class only. Can I ask?
Yes.
First question is about purification. If Diti Mata was worshipping the Lord with the desire, then we are at least from the SCON devotees, they almost they are not trying to have any desires and they are trying to serve the Lord with purification, with the pure intention. Then still, why our purification is not happening that fast, just like it happened with Diti Mata?
Yeah, there are two reasons for this. One is that we think we don't have desires, but we have. That's the point. We think that we are free of desires, but the desires are suppressed in our heart, deep within our heart. And when the situations will come, then you will choose your desires and not Krishna. And Krishna knows this. When the choice comes, we will not choose Krishna. That is going to happen. So that's one thing. That's why we are not getting purified. Another thing is, Krishna doesn't want us to get purified so quickly. He doesn't want, because anything which we receive very fast, that we lose very fast also. That's the rule. We lose the value of it. So Krishna lets us struggle and lets us struggle with the mind, struggle with the anathras, and he doesn't make us pure overnight. He waits so that we earn this purity with a lot of effort. And when we earn the purity with effort, then we will actually carry it and we will value it and then we will protect it. So that's two reasons why we don't become pure soul.
Thank you, Prabhuji. My second question was, you said that it is Indra's one of the service to protect himself as a king. Then there are some act of Indra which cannot be justified, like Gautam and Ahilya case. So how can that be justified? What's the reason behind that?
There are the reason. Gautam Ahilya case, there was a reason, because Indra wanted to teach a lesson to Ahilya, because Ahilya actually was attracted toward Gandharvas when she went to the pond. And she already had a desire before marriage to Gautam. She had a desire to marry Indra. She was attracted
to marry Indra.
Yeah. But she was married to Gautam instead. So she had this desire in her mind. And although she was Rishi Patni, but she had a deep desire to actually associate with Indra before marriage. And even after marriage, she carried the desire. And so that's why when Indra actually disguised as Gautam Muni and he came, isn't it, to Ahilya, she could immediately understand this is Indra. But nevertheless, she associated with her. Even after recognizing this is Indra in the disguise of Gautam. Because she had the desire. So Indra thought that Ahilya is wife of such a great Rishi Gautam. And it's a disgrace that she is not a pure devotee. And she's having this stupid desire in her heart, a sexual desire in her heart. And this has to be removed at any cost. So that's why Indra planned in such a way. And she was cursed, she was made a stone, and then whatever Ram came and he delivered, and then she became a pure devotee. She left all the desire of associating Indra. That was the plan of Indra. So he was not acting selfishly. It was his plan to purify her.
Okay, Prabhuji, is it written in Ramayana? Because
I can't just book it up. I can't make a story.
I'm not asking
it. But the, but the, but the, But the point is, this is all written in commentaries.
Okay.
Commentaries of Acharyas of Ramayana. In normal Ramayana, if you read original Ramayana, it's not written. But in the commentaries of Acharyas of Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, Madhava Sampradaya, all these things are written.
Ji, thank you, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, my third question is, it can be sound like in Dehatma Buddhi, but I have a doubt that how can Rishi Kashyapa with his different wives, this, who seems to be like or goddess or human, they are giving birth to different species like Sarpa, Nag and Rakshasa.
Well, in human species, it's not possible. But they're demigods. So it seems demigods can do this. It seems like that, but I don't know. How they can do science, I don't know. But demigods, so just like Kunti, she gave a child from ear, Karna, without sexual act. Because of the contact with demigod, isn't it sun god? So demigods probably can do all these things. Demigods can bear child from the mind. Brahmaji can bring child from the mind, Manasputra. So all these things can happen in the upper region, and that's what we can understand.
Prabhuji, I have many questions, but I'll stop here. Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Aditya Singh, Prabhuji, please go ahead with your question.
Prabhuji.
Yes,
am I audible, Prabhuji? My question is, what is the limitation of saying untruth or doing anything which is or breaking the morality in Krishna service?
As far as possible, we have to keep up moral principles, dharma, as far as possible. Only if it is required to break dharma, then we do that. Otherwise, not. On the pretext of Sar Dharman Kartajya Maam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, we can't use that verse to break dharmic principles. That will be foolishness. That's not the excuse. We have to follow as far as possible. And if there is a need to fall, to break that, then we do. Only in extreme circumstances. That's all.
That's what the question, like, who will decide the need? Because a person who is having a lower consciousness, he will say that
okay,
he will cheat.
So you ask. So you ask some seniors. That's all. But at our level, we should follow as far as possible. If there's some confusion, ask some seniors and do. That's how it can happen.
Okay.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Yeah, thank you. Jyoti Takni Mataji, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna and Danvat to you. Hare Krishna, Danvat Pranam Prabhuji. Prabhuji, my question is, you said about the demons. So I read in Srila Prabhupada books that demons are nothing but the atheists. So is this the reason that we are told not to associate or listen to the atheist? And if we have to preach them, then how it's going to, how we should do that?
Well, I was talking about demons and ghosts, not atheist. I was talking about real demons who enter your body and make you sick. Pishach and bhoot. Pray that.
Okay, and you said that there is a mood of devotion and to cultivate. So could you please describe about that mood, what you wanted to say?
Well, mood is one of the mood is very important, is to be repentant, to always ask for forgiveness. When we are doing service, we should always keep on asking for forgiveness. Oh my Lord, my service is imperfect, full of offenses. Even if I don't know this, even if I think it's perfect, please follow me. This mood you have to carry throughout.
And Prabhuji, how a liberation can be a service to Krishna? You said that Vishnu will give us the, or force us with love or force, will take us to or guide to liberation. So how that will be a service to Lord?
Well, in Vaishnavism, liberation means to go back to God and serve in his planet.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Aditya Singh Prabhuji, do you have any more questions?
No.
I think, okay. So then Pranam Kulkarni, Mataji, or Prabhuji? Yeah, Prabhuji. Please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yeah, Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, when you, you've often quoted in this in your lectures as well that once we surrender to Krishna, he makes sure that the devotee goes back to Godhead. But then we see that some devotees, they do devotion for some years and then they leave. Why is that?
Well, next life they will go back. For Krishna, one life is nothing, you know. One life is one day. Well, we think one life is, this. He'll make sure in this life, next life, they go back to him. That's how it goes.
And then one more question I had that, you know, when Krishna purifies our desires or, you know, whatever purification that Krishna forces upon us, it's very hard to bear. It's very painful. And
well,
somehow
it's painful. It's painful, but it's enjoyable. Because, Vishnu Thakur gives an example. Vishnu Thakur gives an example. If a girl slaps the boy, it's painful, but it's enjoyable. Because the relationship between girl and boy is different. So it's painful, of course, but it's enjoyable because one fact is that at least Krishna is thinking about us. That gives a lot of bliss to devotee. At least he's thinking about me. Like, even if I'm a sinner and if I'm doing so bad things, he's thinking about me. He cares about me. That's the whole idea. So this fact in itself gives bliss to devotees. And another thing is,
Prabhuji, we couldn't hear.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, yes, we couldn't hear. We just heard another thing.
Yeah. So, kaha chhut gaya, where did I leave?
Another thing you were saying.
Yeah, so another thing is Krishna, he actually forcefully purifies us, and that in itself is a good news because when we try to purify ourselves, we are unable to do that. Isn't it? We try again, we fall down. And when Krishna forcefully purifies us, actually devotee likes that because in spite of trying so many times, we fail. And now Krishna in one go, he takes away all our habit. It's painful.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a surgeon, you know, in one go, he takes away the cancer. Mm-hmm. But then everyone thanks the doctor. You know? Nobody like blames him. What you did, it was such a pain. So these two facts, you know, gives bliss to devotees. So that's okay.
Well, I mean, we are clearly not devotees because we feel it way too much then.
Yeah, that's true. We are not devotees.
So, I mean, my question basically was then that how can we, you know, voluntarily surrender to the, like sometimes, or how do we keep going on with the same consistency?
Well, to voluntary surrender is close your eyes and jump in the ocean. In a swimming pool. And like our parents used to say, you know, jump in the water, swim, and the child is standing, no, papa, no, and somebody comes and pushes. That's all. So one way is Krishna will push you, or another is just close your eyes and jump. And then you will learn yourself. So that's the whole idea there. Yasya prasada, what devotees tell, just follow it. Just close your eyes for that. Just don't think of consequences. That's the whole thing. Our whole problem is to think of consequences. Na shoshati, na kankshati. We always, our mind works, what will happen? What is the consequence? What is the consequence? Well, whatever is the consequence, that will be the best. Krishna says, if you're doing something for me. With that faith, see everybody becomes full-time. Like I became full-time. We don't, I mean to say, no, nobody can become full-time if we think of consequences. It doesn't happen like that. Mm-hmm. We all left the house, we closed eyes and just left. Chalo, dekhenge kya hoga. Then things happen. Otherwise, it can't happen. So that's how we surrender. That's why Krishna says, Ma Socha, don't fear. Don't fear means don't think of consequences. That's the whole trick there. Surrender to me, don't fear, Ma Socha. That means don't think of consequences. If you think of consequences, you will fear. Definitely, you will fear. Just don't think, come to me. And do whatever is told. That's all. That's the trick there, nothing else.
Thank you.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very beautiful answer, reply, Prabhuji. So, Krishna gives us all what is misgivings, which means like we suffer, and in that suffering also that some joyfulness is there. And in one way, Krishna is remembering us, in the other way, we are remembering also Krishna. So,
that's true.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Gaurav, Prabhuji, please go ahead. Gaurav Prabhuji,
am I audible?
Yes, now you're audible. Please go ahead.
When you speak, then you're audible.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I had two questions. So first was, Indra was looking for a reason to kill Diti's child, but he was finding fault in Diti to kill her child. I mean, isn't that kind of a weird to find fault in mother to kill her child? Why should child suffer for mother?
For Indra, mother is secondary. For Indra, dharma is the main thing. And his dharma. Huh?
Prabhuji, I understood that. I was asking that why should the child suffer for his mother's sins?
Child might have done some sins. Nothing happens by chance. Just like, for example, Devaki had her 6 children killed by Kamsa. And there was a big history behind that. And they were supposed to be killed. They were cursed. So I think for your question, we have to do some research. There might be some kind of history to this child, why it was cut into 49 pieces. There has to be some. I have to do some research. I don't know. But there has to be some story behind it.
Okay, so my second question was, didn't Prabhupada once sign some document in which he admitted his philosophical defeat or something like that?
Philosophical defeat? What's that question? I can't understand.
I don't remember the exact Leela, but Prabhupada once, someone came to him and he signed some
document. You have to tell me the exact Leela, then only I can answer.
Devotees, we have many hand raised. Please be quick with your questions so that we can, Prabhuji will have time for others also to answer.
Hare Krishna, I have a question. How can we know that? I just mean, recently you said our desires are deep embedded in our hearts. So how can we know that these are my desires? I mean, sometimes we are unable to enumerate those desires.
I'll tell you the answer. How can you know? By chanting. There is no other way. By analysis, you will never be able to know. When you chant, then the dami buddhi yogam tam, Krishna will enlighten your heart, the holy name. And then you will be able to see what's there in your heart. So just like your house, you know, if your house is a basement, So you don't know what's happening in the basement. You know, there are cockroaches, there are insects, spiders. And just by thinking, you can't understand. You have to go there and see. But it's dark, so you have to light a bulb. So similarly, in the basement of our consciousness, inside our there is darkness. And by reading, analysis, you'll not be able to understand. You have to chant nicely, and when there's light, the light of holy name, then you'll be able to see everything. There's no other way, no other way.
One more question in continuation of this. It may also happen some desires are more profound and some are like less. So which desire should be first eradicated?
What some desires are strong, some desires are weak. So which desire?
Should be first, should be removed first.
Weak one, not the strong one. First work on the weak. If you work on the strong, then you'll get depressed.
And how can we know this is like the, this is an order?
Well, Prabhupada says in the way, the first tackle weak enemies, then the strong. That's how it goes.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Rakesh Prabhuji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanat Panam. So Prabhuji, just wanted to understand, like you have mentioned, like if a person is undergoing agony or pain, then that means like there is a good chances that he has been attacked by demons or rakshasas or demons. So it would be the same even for the devotees, Prabhuji. I mean, the person who is not completely fixed in Krishna consciousness, but still like...
For us, it's absolutely valid. I mean to say, I was speaking for us only.
I was not
speaking for non-devotees. We are all like that.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Indulekha Prema Mahi Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, thank you so much for your wonderful class. I just wanted to know, like, if one is suffering from something, it could be because of their prarabdha karma, or it could be a purificatory process given by Krishna, or is it the same? Can there be purification when one is undergoing their karmic reaction also, or is it different?
Yeah. It's all mixed, you know, because it's due to a prarabdha karma only, but Krishna uses a prarabdha karma to purify us.
Okay.
That's his intelligence.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Shukakar Krishna Prabhuji, please go ahead. Aditya Prabhuji and Rita Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Anita Mataji. Yes. Keshavananda Prabhu, as usual, your class is always so much descriptive and analytical. Prabhu, since you are a very Diggaj Vaishnava, you have left everything and you have come totally under the surrender of Krishna, you are with Bhakti Yogas Maharaj. So, I hear from Chaitanya Charitamrita, what the definition of a Vaishnava and Mahaprabhu is telling, Khaite, Shuite, Boshite, Utite, Cholite, one who chants 24 hours, he is a Vaishnava. So, I know the theory, but I finish the morning rounds, then I am getting taste for Bhagavatam reading, giving class and all, but chanting mein kaise badhane ka? Can you tell? Because you may be chanting 24 hours, so can you just give the secret how?
And see, I'll tell you one thing. Bhakti Chandra Sarasvati Thakur, he was giving a lecture somewhere. So he was preaching. So one devotee who was sitting besides him, a brahmachari, he was chanting. He was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare. He was chanting little loudly. So Bhakti Chandra told him, don't make a sound.
Oh.
Don't make this sound. I mean to say, so he could have said, stop chanting. And he said, don't make this sound, I'm preaching. So that brahmachari told Bhakti Chandra, he was like, I don't know, he was egoistic, he was like foolish. He told, I'm not making sound, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, you're making sound. So he was foolish to speak like that. So the idea is chanting is not just chanting the whole. Chanting on the rounds, that's not real chanting. That's the whole Bhakti Santa idea. Chanting also chanting is not naam jap, chanting is naam seva. With that spirit we chant, we serve the holy name. So reading Bhagavatam is also chanting because we are serving holy name. Okay. By reading Bhagavatam. By reading Bhagavatam, we are developing a mood which will help us to chant nicely. So that's also serving holy name. Preaching is also serving holy name. We are trying to spread the holy name. So all these things are chanting. So that's why anybody who is engaged in Krishna consciousness 24 hours, he's actually chanting 24 hours.
Oh.
That's what Mahaprabhu said. That's all I do.
Because now you took the class. You don't know how that 1 hour went off. It's so well because totally absorbed. वो सुनने का अच्छा लगा सो मच टू टू लर्न यू नो ऑलवेज
वो चैंटिंग ही कर रहे
हैं हां लेकिन चैंटिंग
कर रहे हैं
वो टेस्ट
वो चैंटिंग ही कर रहे हैं वो नो नो वी व्हेन वी हियर वी डेवलप अ राइट कॉन्सेप्शन एंड द राइट मूड एंड विद द राइट कॉन्सेप्शन राइट मूड देन वी सर्व द होली नेम तो वो हम सबको चैंटिंग के लिए ही कर रहे हैं इसलिए वो चैंटिंग
ओके
व्हेन वी डू एवरीथिंग फॉर चैंटिंग देन दैट इज चैंटिंग इन द आईज ऑफ गॉड.
But how to come to the absorbed chanting? When is Nama Aparat, Nama Bhas, and Shuddha Nam? Shuddha Nam Anikle, what is the solution? How we can do?
There is no one fast solution for that. But there's no one fast solution. But the idea is if you want to
aparat.
Shuddha Nam, then Aparat, aparat. Chalo, bahut bada term hai. The best thing is to be alert.
Always. Attentive, okay.
Attentive while chanting and while not chanting. Bas,
what do you mean by while not chanting means what? While not chanting means?
Well, you remember the chanting. No, while not chanting, you have to remember that whatever I'm doing to chant nicely. Okay. Everything should end up in chant, holy names.
Thank you so much, Keshavan Prabhu. Both
dhanyavad.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. So, Balram Prasad Prabhuji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mahajadhi, thank you. Keshavanand Prabhu, I have one question. You said if somebody does something sinful, the demons can enter.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering, for every person in this material world, especially the human beings, there is a influence of Ketu and Rahu in their lives. Are they demons, Prabhu? Why are they worshipping in the Navagraha if they are demons?
Yeah, they are demons. They are demigods as well as demons. I mean to say they are having both positions because Navagraha. There is Rahu Ketu, we know that.
Because they took Amrit, na? Chori karke Amrit piya, actually. That's why it became Pujaniya.
Because they sat in the row of demigods, isn't it? So they are considered demigods, but they are considered malefic demigods. Evil demigods, like that. Like that they are known. Either you can still tell them evil demigods or you can tell them demons. It's the same. But so they are in between. So that is why when Rahu and Ketu effect comes in a kundali, then we have to be very careful because if we do sin and offense at that time, which they will force us to do, that's what Rahu and Ketu's influence is. They will force us into sin, and then there will be problems in our life. So at that time we have to be very careful. If you are not strong in devotion, then we can really trip off. In that period, that's their one thing. But there is one great saint, Badi Raj. They are demons, but they are considered in the line of demigods because of one very important reason. This Badi Raj has written a song, a stuti of so Badi Raj has written a prayer, a glorification of actually this Navagraha. And in that he writes, Rahu Rahait Rogam. Rahu helps to get rid of diseases, the disease of our heart. That's what Rahu is doing. Although he's acting as an obstacle creator, as a demon by actually giving obstacles, but in that sense, it is trying to make us strong in the service of Lord. You're giving us obstacles and by actually making us realize that if you do sins, you can't escape. Immediate reaction will come. In the Rahu period, immediate reaction will come. Immediate, you can't escape. So so Rahu Rahayat Rogam, that's what Vadira said. So because it is helping us to go towards Vishnu by some evil tricks like that. That's why he's demon and demigod both. So that's how Vadiraj.
Prabhuji, Ketu aega to bolta hai, it helps in religious, you become more spiritual bolta hai. Ketu jab aata hai,
Ketu something Vadiraj writes. Yeah, it becomes more religious.
Ketu is becoming helping us in more detachment.
Yeah, something. He like that. Huh? I forgot the Sanskrit, but you're right. More detachment. So it produces obstacles and this and that. So that we become detached. I mean to say, if you're a devotee, you become detached. But if you're non-devotee, you become depressed and you become a psychiatric patient. That's what happens.
So as a devotee, when there is an influence of these two, how do we handle, bro?
Well, if there's influence, then first thing we have to see, under the influence, there'll be very strong tendency of mind to do sin. You can't escape. So Rahu actually forces us to do sin, and Ketu creates fear. The function of Ketu is fear. Rahu is like a mirror and Ketu is like a smoke. Mirrors and smoke, these are called two planets. So mirrors confuse, isn't it?
Yes.
The path is there, but you see there. And smoke doesn't allow you to see. It's fearful, you know. So when these two situation comes, then the only solution is... So you might think, okay, let's become strong, but that will not work because that's their whole trick, you know, to make you weak. And they will do that. They are much stronger than us. The whole point in that period is to keep good association, to keep very good company. So not just association, let me put it, very good company. You should have very good, wise and pure friends. Otherwise, we are finished. And we have to have some practical solution in our life. We have to have some very practical moves in our life so that we can save ourselves from our sins. Our determination will not work in that way. Theory will not work. It will all fail. We have to have some practical solutions. We have to keep ourselves in some situation where we are forced to do right thing. And we have to have very pure people around us so that they can warn us. And in that period, never take decisions on your own. Always ask your good friends and go by their decision. Otherwise, you are finished. Because generally, Rahu period comes for 18 years, isn't it? Minimum 18 years, 12 years. Ketu also comes. So it's a big period. So we have to save ourselves. And so in that way, Rahu and Ketu helps us to understand we should be dependent. We can't work independently. They help us to understand we have to be team players. We have to be dependent on somebody. And they also helps us to understand that always keep yourself in a situation where you're forced to do good things. Don't keep yourself independent and in a loose situation. So in that sense, they help us. If we can take this solution, go ahead with this solution. That's how we do. Thanks.
Thank you, Prabhu. Because many times they say, they just clap your hands, Rahu and Ketu won't do anything for you. But
if you clap your hands, they'll... Clapping hands, that's all theory, you know. That's all, that's there, I mean. But clapping hands, you know, Rahul and Ketu, they'll become happy, you know. And he's a fool, you know.
I know.
But that doesn't work practically. That's
thank you.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, we devotees, we think that we are very strong, and then we will say, hey, you know what, I'm a devotee of Krishna, nothing happens to me. But yeah, you know what happens to us. So
yeah, thank you. Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. That was really a very wonderful question. Thank you, Prabhuji, for such a nice reply. Shyama Gauri Mataji, please go ahead.
She's not there.
Shyama Gauri Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, that Dad Pranam Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, means whenever all these obstacles are coming and so many bad things are happening in our life, so is it Krishna is testing us, or demigods are they are bothering us, or our karma? What do you think?
No, Krishna is allowing them to put obstacles in our life. Krishna is allowing our prarabdh karmas to come in our life. It's all by permission of Krishna. So demigod, if we are devotees, demigods and demons and prarabdh karma cannot do anything to us. Isn't it? That's a philosophy. By the same, but then we suffer. So then who is doing? Krishna is doing, or prarabdh karma, or demigods? So the whole solution, Baldev Devabhushan writes, it's Krishna is telling demigods, put obstacles in his life. I want that. Or Krishna is telling prarabdh karmas, okay, fine, just catch him, you know. Okay, I'll not defuse you. Just catch them. Go and do your stuff, and put problems in a life, and then make him strong. That's a small chastisement. If we do something wrong and Krishna has to chastise us, Krishna doesn't do directly. See, the point is Krishna doesn't want to directly beat us. He likes us. So the mother, like mother and child, mother doesn't want to slap the child. So mother says, Papa will come.
Yeah.
And then mother will sell Papa. Then mother will sell the daddy. You beat him. I can't beat my child. I like him. So Krishna likes us. He doesn't want to beat us directly. So he tells demigods, you know, I want to chastise him. There's something problem. You do. Prarabdh karmas, you do. And when the chastisement is done and we correct ourselves, then he says, demigod, stop it. You know? And then he stops it. Prarabdh karma. It's like that.
Okay.
Enjoy.
Thank you. Very nice question answer.
Nice reply, Prabhuji. Whenever it comes to children, there is a difficulty between the parents, like who will chastise, who will beat, or who will shock. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. Then Isha Upanishad, Mataji.
Yeah. I think I'll take the last question and then I'll end up there.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Jai Prabhu, Hari Bol. Thank you so much for so many wonderful realizations. But I'm coming to the conclusion that by us being here in the material energy, and Krishna has the best interest for everyone because he loves us so very much, I'm thinking that all this is leading to is chanting the holy name. That is our protection. Whatever we do, whatever happens to us, the faith in the holy name is our benediction.
That's so true. Absolutely correct. Yeah, holy name is the thing.
So that makes me just want to chant even more. So thank you so very much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Mataji, I think I want to end up here. You know, I have some other
class. Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a very wonderful class. And thank you for such an elaborate question and session also. That was really very amazing to know many new facts which I was not knowing. Thank you for that, Prabhuji. And devotees, let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Prabhuji, we want your association in future also. Please come on this forum and give us your association. Vancha Kalpatripasya Kripa Sindhu
Devadana.